All right, so boom. The Bible says a wise man thinks about death, but a fool thinks only about having a good time. And you might say something like, why is it wise to think about death? That sounds real depressing. But you got to really ponder it, though. A wise man understands that everything here, like all what we got here on this earth, is temporary. When you're on your deathbed, the party's not going to matter. The clothes, the followers, they not going to matter. All that money, the six-figure career that you spent your life chasing, that's not going to matter because you can't take none of that with you when you pass on. The only thing that's going to matter is where is you about to end up when you leave this earth. The only thing you can take with you is your soul, and a wise person understands that so they live accordingly. But a fool only thinks about having a good time. They think about party, sex, drugs, getting super rich, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but they never really consider what's going to happen to them when they lose their life. If you still out here living for this world, understand, friend, life is more than getting hoes. It's more than partying, sex, trying to be at every function. It's more than trying to get super filthy rich. You can have all that success, but just understand, bro, you can't take none of that with you when you go to that grave.
Glory and praise have to go to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, first and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, first and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man. First and foremost, I want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yo, welcome to the show, everyone, to the Twisted Youngin' Show. We want to thank everyone for tuning in today. We hope everyone is staying blessed, staying safe, staying out of the way. And if you aren't saved, now will be a good time to get saved. Get in the Word of God and let him renew your mind and your heart and your spirit. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Myra B. King.
And this is Desi Dez.
And we do this show for you all. We just try to give you all news of what's going on in the world. We try to give you scripture and just to do our part for the kingdom. And if you all would like to make a small or a large donation, the Cash App is at the bottom of the screen. And we want to thank you all for subscribing. We want to thank you all for your feedback. It's because of your support and the Lord's grace and mercy that we're able to continue to do these shows. And so, for starters, we have a good show lined up for you all. A lot of things has been going on. Do want to start off by saying, I know a lot of people, including Christians, like have questions like, how can I be saved? Like, where do I start? Am I doing the right thing? I will give you all scripture that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is Romans 10, verses 9 through 12, and I am reading this out of the King James Version. Now, lastly, after you come to God, after you want to be saved, or you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he rose from the dead, and you make your confession. Lastly, you have to lay down your fleshly deeds. Now, our fleshly way of doing things. So our fleshly deeds is our fleshly way of doing things. What we used to do of the world. What is considered bad. What is considered sin. What is considered evil. So we have to lay down our fleshly deeds, our fleshly way of doing things, and be led by Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, God's way of doing things. And how we find out God's way is by reading the Bible, studying his word. We no longer can respond to things the way we want to respond or live our lives according to how we feel. That is not what God wants us to do. That's not how he wants us to live by. The Bible says we are to come to him as children. That means our mind has to be renewed. He has to be able to teach us. And because believing in Christ and being a follower of Christ is a lifestyle, and we need to behave like him. So I have another scripture for you all. Romans 8, verse 13, out of the New King James Version. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we have to be led by the Spirit. And this scripture that he has read more than a couple times on the show is Galatians 5:19 through 21. It's now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfishness, ambitions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times of the past. So those are, just to name a few, are the things that we have to put aside in order to be led by the Spirit. But it says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the things that I just named beforehand, the adultery, the lewdness, the drunkenness, the wrath, you know, many more. Again, you all look up that verse. It's Galatians 5:19-21. If you practice those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, that's idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, fornication. We know what fornication is. You're having sex without marriage, shacking up, boyfriend and girlfriend. Or if you are married, adultery, you know, cheating on your spouse. And if you're not cheating on them physically, or you cheated on them in your heart, in your mind. So those are some things that we have to get rid of. And also, you have to develop a prayer habit and speak from the heart. And lastly, in our church, we are the Bible verse of the month is Psalms 119, verse 37. And I'm reading this out of the King James Version. It's turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. So we're asking the Lord to turn us away from our fleshly deeds, our fleshly distractions. And we're asking to Lord, revive me, bring me back to life in your way of doing things through the Holy Spirit. So I can be renewed. And if a person says that they aren't saved and their heart and their spirit has not been converted or transformed, they are not saved. They are not a follower of Christ.
Amen. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. It's grace through faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things that which are visible. So that is how we're saved. We're saved by what Jesus did on the cross, and our faith, we have faith in what Jesus did on the cross, and faith in the blood, faith that our sins are forgiven. No, because of that, and I just explained the Hebrews 11, 1 to 3, you know, show that what does faith consist of? Like, what is it? I just want you guys to, you know, take away from, you know, what Tamara just gave you guys, you know, through the scriptures, and, you know, that our podcast is just based upon just, know, giving people the gospel, just trying to plant seeds in people, and somebody else come in water, and God does the increase. You know, we just want to make a space where everybody, like, just revealing the Bible in the world, you know, show that the Bible is prophecies are being fulfilled now today. You know what I'm saying? And there are wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence. And although although that in times past there have been such things, you know, but I think the infusion of technology at the same time, you know, the fact that if the mark of the beast came out today, it's possible that it could be today. You know what I'm saying? No man knows the day or the hour, but it's possible at this time that the mark of the beast could come out and everybody could be tracked. And you wouldn't be able to buy or sell. So these prophecies that's in the Bible, they could be fulfilled today. And we're just acknowledging that, and we're just trying to give you Bible, but also give you world at the same time, and give you Jesus, you know. So we thank you guys for continuing to watch our shows, and continue to like, comment, and subscribe. And,
Amen. So again, we have a stacked show with stacked topics for you all. And so we're going to start off by the Book of Clarence. Now, this is a movie. It was a star-studded cast. Lakeith Stanfield was one of the featured actors in this. And long story short, it was supposed to be, it is, you know, a predominantly African-American cast. And Lakeith Stanfield, his character was to basically mock Jesus. And when this opened up, the movie, the budget for this movie was $40 million. And the opening weekend, it only made $2.57 million, basically $2 million, less than 10% of its $40 million budget. And I was happy to see that. At time after time, again, you see these movies, these videos, speeches mocking Jesus, mocking Christianity, mocking followers of Christ. And the only reason they're able to continue to do that is because we continue to support that, right? And so maybe if we don't support that, and I believe even people of the world are starting to take heed and starting to notice this, if we just, you know, let it be known this is not what we want to see, then this cannot keep happening. Because if you try to talk about another religion, whether it be Allah, Buddha, or whoever the case may be, Muhammad, it'll be a big uproar about that. And that's why you don't hear too many people speaking out in mockery about those religions, because those get checked pretty quick. So I was happy to see that that flopped at the box office.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't make a mockery of the Lord. Book of Clarence. There's no such thing as a Book of Clarence.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I'm saying, like, you're trying to make a movie, but still, you don't do it. You don't do that. If you're gonna have a, you know, a Jesus movie, you can do that. You know, like the Passion of Black Passion of Christ. I'm with that.
Mm.
You know, they all of the cast members are black and showing how it really was back then. I like that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, they should do something like
that's
that.
That's all they
have to do. I mean, because it is a demand for people wanting to see entertainment and movies and history. But I believe people are just getting tired of the mockery, getting tired of the foolery. People are starting to wake up. And also to add to that, Amazon has a satanic cartoon now basically supporting and glorifying Lucifer. The name of this cartoon that Amazon has on their platform is Haze Bin Hotel, an Amazon Prime prompt backlash on social media for rolling out a trailer for a new animated series that suggests the angels of God are heartless while sympathetically portraying demons, Lucifer, and his mythological lover, Lilith. So this is about Lucifer and Lilith. And this is what Amazon rolled out on their Twitter. It says, quote unquote, heaven and hell like you've never seen them before. Amazon Prime tweeted this last week. Again, they said the trailer for Haze Bin Hotel, which depicts heavenly angels as the many-eyed, wheel-like beings in the book of Ezekiel, describes Lucifer as a dreamer with fantastical ideas for all of creation. And so forth and so forth. So if you all are interested, you all can look it up. That way you don't allow your children to support this.
Yeah. And Proverbs 22 verses 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you're supposed to allow your children to know that this is not a cartoon that you're supposed to be watching. This is a demonic cartoon. This is built on deception. This is of the devil. You know, and if you train him up in the way, you know, in the way of the Lord, he'll get old. He'll know that while he's young, he gonna know that's demonic. I don't supposed to watch that. That cartoon is not good. You know, so you gotta teach your kids this. And this is for Christians, because I know a lot of worldly people. They probably know it's something wrong with that. You know, because it's the devil. I think the devil is worldwide known that it's not a good thing to be watching no video of the devil or to worship the devil. You know, God written his commandments on our hearts, so we know we don't supposed to be doing these things. So you should know to tell your son not to watch it. But a lot of us are foolish, and they'll just allow their kids to do whatever and watch whatever they come on the screen. So I pray that you guys allow your kids to know, you know, wake them up to this fact.
Amen. As Dad stated, teach your children and also continue to teach yourself. Do research on yourself so you can know what to teach them. Because a lot of kids, they're exposed to what's going on social media, the environment. The schools are teaching them, and the parents has less of an influence in their life, the way that they think.
Yeah, you got to study to show yourself approved. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far away from them. Now, the rod can be, it can be a belt, or it can be some straightening. You put some, you know, you drive that foolishness from them. You know, a kid might say, no, daddy, I want to watch this. You know, you're just going too crazy with this devil being on the TV. It's just a cartoon character. You know what I mean? So he's going to, they're willing to do whatever. They some of them pick stuff off the ground and eat it. You know, it's foolishness bound up in their heart, but, you know, you're supposed to correct them. You're supposed to give them God. You're supposed to give them wisdom because you have been on earth longer than they have. So I pray that, yeah.
All right, next, we have religious freedom advocates demand answers on State Department's exclusion of Nigeria, India from the persecution list. So we have a group of internationals, religious freedom experts, are calling for Secretary of State Antony Blinken to testify before a congressional hearing about the State Department's decision to exclude Nigeria and India from a list of nations with severe violations of religious freedom. Now, in a letter sent Wednesday, first obtained by the Daily Signal, more than 40 religious freedom experts and organizations pointed out that since 2009, more than 50,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria and 18,000 churches and 2,500 Christian schools attacked. They also cited India, where they say that between 200 and 400 churches and 3,500 Christian homes have been attacked since last May. Now, quote unquote, they say, as human rights and international religious freedom leaders, we stand in support of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. And their call for a congressional hearing in the State Department's exclusion of Nigeria and India from the countries of particular concern. Now, they said Nigeria and India have been rocked by alarming incidents of religious violence and persecution. Lately I've been hearing a lot of, there has been a lot of killing going on in India, Nigeria, also Korea and China, of Christians, basically. They've been pulled from their homes, massacred. Some of their children have been taken away. And I thought this was important because right now we're able to serve the Lord comfortably. You know, we don't have any weaponry pointed at our head, any threats as of yet. And so we should be thankful for that, and not only be thankful for that, but continue to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution and who basically are going down for the word. So
2 Timothy 3 verses 12, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Matthew 5 verses 11 to 12, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 5 verses 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. John 15 verses 18. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Matthew 5 verses 44. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for them who spitefully use you and persecute you. So, Romans 5 verses 3, and not only that, you also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. You know, so we're going to suffer persecution. You know, the world hates us because it hated Jesus. You know, they persecuted Jesus. They killed Jesus on the cross. So they, you know, they're killing a lot of Christians around the world. You know, we don't supposed to fear the one that can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body after the body is dead, can throw the soul into eternal hell. So we're supposed to continue to fear God. You know, and he's got to stand on his word, even if persecution was here in this land. You know, I cannot deny God just because they say they're gonna kill me. You know what I'm saying? That's a person of no faith. That's a person that don't believe that the Bible is true, that be absent from the body is be present in the Lord.
So sticking on the Christianity topics, we have, and this is in the season, you have to be aware of who you're under, right? So you have a pastor admits to selling $32 million of worthless cryptocurrency to his followers, to his bodies of Christ, and he profited off of that, and he knew that they were phony. We also have CVS sued for firing a staffer who refused to provide contraceptives, you know, because it went against her religion. We also have in a VA. So at the, you know, the VA offices for veterans. So a VA super a VA supervisor removes anti-Satan sign from desk following a complaint. So long story short, a supervisor at a veterans benefits administration facility reportedly removed a, now this is what the sign said, "Not today, Satan, not today," a sign from her desk following a complaint from a nonprofit civil rights organization. Now, an honorably discharged Air Force veteran who adheres to many of the non-theist teachings, including Satanists, alleged that the prominently placed anti-Satan sign on the supervisor's desk escalated a previously hostile situation at the undisclosed VA facility. Now, an email from the unnamed client described the display as a Christian supremacist sign, claiming he or she was already in a hostile situation with my immediate supervisor for a previous non-religious reason. The client said they noticed the anti-Satan display on the supervisor's desk was positioned in such a way that it was physically directed at anyone sitting in the guest chair across from her desk. So here you have this administrator, the supervisor has a anti-Satan sign, which basically says, "Not today, Satan." And they're arguing that it was pointed at anyone who was sitting across from her, and they took offense to that.
Let me get this scripture. Romans 4, yeah. Verses 8. "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's."
And that was it for that one. All right, moving right along.
So he had to let them know, "Not today, Satan." So
yeah.
So they were Satan worshipers?
Well, I don't see, the thing is, whoever took offense to that, they emailed, you know, the people over her head, and she had to take that down because people found it offense. You know, they said it was basically like a supremacist, you know.
Wow.
And so she had to take that down. Also, the Christian baker continues the legal fights over not wanting to bake a cake for a lesbian couple. Yeah.
Amen.
But what's interesting is she doesn't just point out that she doesn't make cakes for same-sex marriages. According to the brief, Miller's refusal to make the same-sex wedding cake was one of many orders she had refused to fulfill due to moral objections to the message being conveyed. For example, Miller will not design cakes that celebrate divorce, display violence, glorify drunkenness, or drug use, contain explicit sexual content, or present gory, demonic, or satanic images. Miller also will not design cakes that demean any person or group for any reason, or that promote racism or any other message that conflicts with Christian principles. So she has a list of what she will not make cakes for, but they choose to take this one and just run with it and just use and just attach it to the LGBTQ. But she does have a list of what she will not make the case for. It's not just LGBTQ, but she's still going through. This has happened in 2017, and she's still going through that. So good job to her for still standing up for her rights. Yeah. Everyone else is allowed to stand up for their rights of who they want to serve. Yeah. So why not? Out in Kansas City, they banned a prophet from their church, Bob Harley, from 24/7 prayer room after allegations of sex abuse. And so we got the embattled Internal House of Prayer Kansas City has banned self-styled prophet Bob Harley of Hartley Hope Ministries from its 24/7 prayer room after he was publicly accused of sexual assault and a pattern of predatory behavior impacting multiple alleged women victims. Now, they say, based on the information we have been presented and verified, Mr. Hartley has been informed he will no longer be permitted access to the IHOPKC prayer room. We can also confirm he is not on staff with us at the moment, so I'm not going to read the full article, but I just, you know, reading these topics just to let you know, just because a person says they're a pastor or a prophet or a bishop or a deacon, you still have to check their fruit. That doesn't mean that they're holy. You know, how are they living their lives? You know, if something is presented to you, don't overlook it. You know, look more into it. Take that serious. Take that matter very seriously.
Yeah.
And
because some of these, I mean, it seems like you go on YouTube, it's a lot of pastors that get caught in committed adultery, you know, because they have a lack of faith. All of them are not called by God, you know. God calls the ones he knows is taking, you know, going to take his word seriously. And it's not going to be looking at Miss Houston in the front seat because she has something that's revealing her body. You know, he's not going to be looking at all the other women that's singing in the choir because he knows that she's been abused and she's not that smart. He can tell that he can manipulate her because she views him as a God figure. You know, he's not going to look for chinks in women armor, you know, so he can pleasure himself. I mean, you know, God calls the ones that he knows is serious, is going to, you know, take his word, is not going to add to his word or take away from it, is going to love his wife and love his children and going to deny himself, go on that path of denial. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, then take up his cross and follow me. So these guys are walking the path of denial because they have fear. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The way we perfect holiness is in the fear of God. That's how you do it. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hand of the Almighty God. So they know that internally, if I'm looking at this woman and lusting for her internally, I fear God. I know God is real. God is he's a discerner of the hearts. So he knows my thoughts. He knows my intentions when I come up to her and try to talk to her. And say that I want to do some counseling with you. He knows my intentions is to spit some game, try to figure her out, figure if she got a man, and figure, you know, is she willing, you know, build a relationship with her. He might, you know, some of these guys are hip. They smart. They ain't gonna shoot their shot the first time we meet. But I'm gonna gradually see how far she'll let me go. You know, crack a joke eventually. Once I get to know a little bit, see, girl, you came in here smelling good, made me think. You know, and see how she take that. You know, if she don't tell or she continue to harbor, keep that inside and laugh it off, boy, Pastor, you crazy.
Yeah, and some women and men are easily manipulated. Yeah. Why? Because that person is in a position of power. Yeah. You know, they look at that man as prestigiousness, yeah. You know, and yeah. So.
And you talking about men for us like on some homosexual, yeah, that's how they get you in the homosexual ring. They do men like that too. Mm. Just like how they do women, they do men like mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one pastor that they said that a guy said that the pastor asked him, he said, you know, I gotta know how you like sex. Mm. Because I need to know, you know, how to, you know, to talk to you about that, you know, how to work, how do you like it? You know what I mean? So they wanna be that figure. They wanna be the go in between. They wanna be the veil. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's when they're able to capitalize on their demonic sexual lusts. You know, they're able to fulfill those lusts, you know, because they're, and this also is it's probably a real, real stimulator because we don't supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
That's like some people get thrills off of stealing.
It's like they get turned over to their own fleshly desires and they start living their life according to how they want to live it.
Yeah.
You know, it just becomes as a, you know, their the church has become as a way that they make money and yeah. The way that they get those people, you know what I mean? Since they don't go probably to the clubs, but they go to the church, you know what I mean? Yeah. So they keep it going in the church. Mm-hmm. And so you all have to pay attention to that because it was a couple churches have forgiven their pastors and deacons mm-hmm. for homosexuality. Man, I remember it's this one pastor who hit his side chick showed up pregnant, and then like the next week
she started fighting. Is that the one that was started fighting?
But then the following week, the first lady spoke, and you know, like he didn't step down at all, and basically they wanted the congregation to forgive him. So just because we believe that these men are men of God, we have to judge righteously according yeah. to the word. And if it doesn't line up with the word,
get out of that church.
You don't have to forgive. You know what I mean? Because ultimately,
forgive him, but you get right. out of that church.
Yeah,
you forgive him. You know, yeah, you don't sure. hold nothing. You know, because who are you to hold?
Yeah, let me reframe that. Yeah, you don't hold any grudges or anything, yeah. but don't just sweep it under the rug like
get out of there.
Like this is what's supposed to happen. Yeah. That's not supposed to happen at all. Mm-hmm. So,
you need to know that pastors are held to a higher standard. James 3 verses 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Pastors will receive a stricter judgment. You know, they are held to what they're preaching. You know, you can't just preach about God, know the Bible and then be over his church and then you are in willful sin.
Because you, the pastors, are the leaders of the flock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And you're the shepherd.
Well,
you're holding the word as well. And so that's why it's important to speak the truth according to the word, because you can be leading people to their demise.
Yeah. Hebrews 10 verses 26, for if we willfully sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins. The knowledge of the truth is, especially a pastor has the knowledge of the truth because he knows that Bible. He knows that Bible so much that he's able to teach on that Bible. So if he's teaching on the Bible and knows the Bible, he has the knowledge of the truth. And there remain, if he's willfully sinning, he's living a lifestyle of sinning against God. There remain if no more sacrifices for sin. So what Jesus did on the cross will be no longer for that person. You know, whether it's a pastor, whether it's the person in church, if you go into church every day and you know the do's and don'ts, you know the Bible, you still go out here and live your life how you want to live your life, you don't have no true fear for God, he's going to cut you off. And you what he did on the cross is no longer will be for you. So you'll be in church saying amen, but spiritually you'll be dead. You will go to church because you have it's part of your daily life. You know, on Sunday you feel like you itching. If you don't go to church, you don't have nothing else to do, you know, because you don't have a true lifestyle. But you go to church, but you don't have true faith. You don't believe, you know, and that's what it's about. Hebrews 10 verses 29. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of covenant by which we was sacrificed a common thing, by which we was sacrificed a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace, by which he was sacrificed a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. You know, so that if you assault the Spirit of grace, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and you won't be forgiven for that. You know, and that's the same way why Jesus, or what Jesus did on the cross, won't be for you. So if you assault the Spirit, that's by your actions, by your sinful lifestyle, your willfully sinful lifestyle, you have insulted the Spirit of grace. So therefore, what Jesus did on the cross, God in the flesh, is no longer for you because you don't have the true faith. Ephesians 4 verses 30 to 31, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. By willfully sinning, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
What is willful sin?
Willful sin is like Hebrews 10 verses 26. Is sinning with the knowledge of what God do's or don'ts are. What the knowledge of sin is. That willfully sinning, if you know God say don't be out here committing fornication, don't be out here committing adultery, you go and commit adultery. Not only you commit adultery, you live a lifestyle committing adultery. You get numbers, your heart is on some adultery, your heart is on big booties and how you getting her number with intentions to be with her. You're living a lifestyle that's opposed of God. You know, a lifestyle that's totally opposite of God's ways.
So willful sin ultimately can be, willful sin is spiritually a lifestyle.
Yeah, and inwardly. The inward man can be, like, you know, you can be, just because you're not able to do it.
Because you're not doing it physically, but yeah, Jesus said it may be your lifestyle within. It just may be something you keep within that you're constantly dwelling on and making, I don't know, all type imaginations flare and go all over the world, you know, place. So it can be, so don't just focus on, it can be like for the viewers that's watching, it's not just if you're just doing something physically.
Yeah, that's why I said he's a discerner of the heart.
But no, I'm just breaking it down just in simpler terms for, you know, just for others who may not quite understand it, who aren't in the word. But spiritually, it's who you are in heart. You know, if you dwell on something, if you constantly thinking about something and you know it's not right, you know it's not according to the word of God, just because you're not physically cheating on your husband or your wife, but is that in your heart? Are you constantly looking at men and women going back and forth, looking at booties and all types of things, lusting, you know, so.
Yeah, God knows your intentions.
Exactly.
You know, Galatians 5 verses 13. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use your freedom in Jesus, because you're not held by the law. You're not under the yoke of bondage, but you're free to do as you want. But guess what? Don't use that as a liberty to commit fornication, commit adultery, to go against what God. That's why if we're saved by grace, shall we, continue to live how we want to live, because it's by grace and through faith, God forbid.
Because some people think just because they're saved and they have grace, I got a free pass.
Yeah.
I have hall passes.
God forbid, no.
I can go ahead and drink and smoke or
that old man's supposed to be taken off.
Yeah, that old man is supposed to die on that cross.
Yeah. Proverbs 26 verses 11, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool repeats his foolishness. So that's what these people, pastors, doing. The people that's just going to church, they're repeating their foolishness. They're going back. They took the Lord. I mean, the Bible says taking off the old man and his works and his, and the things it the devilish things you was doing before you came to Christ. They went and put back on that old man. They don't want to be clean. They don't want the blood. They have took the blood off. They use the blood as some common thing. What Jesus did on the cross, they didn't have no respect for it.
Women's magazines here in America and across the whole world is Cosmopolitan. Cosmo's published in 35 different languages, and it's distributed in nearly 100 countries around the whole globe. And if you've spent any time standing at a checkout aisle in a supermarket within the last 30 years, well, you've probably seen one of their magazines, which is primarily aimed at women aged 18 to 34. However, something very odd happened about 6 weeks ago. The people who happened to follow Cosmo Magazine on social media, they were treated to this post right here, explaining the details of how a quote-unquote satanic abortion ceremony actually works. Let me read to you a quick tidbit on what this social media post said. And as you're listening to me read this, keep in mind that this social media post is not from some fringe part of the internet. This was a post from the most mainstream women's magazine in this country. Here's what it said, quote, "So how does a satanic abortion ceremony even work? Patients of all faiths are welcome at Samuel Alito's mom's satanic abortion clinic in New Mexico. Along with medical counsel, TST, which stands for the Satanic Temple, offers free ceremonial support to everyone. Abortion ceremonies are totally optional and customizable. Here's a simple one that the Satanic Temple recommends." The post then goes on to have several pages explaining how to conduct one of these satanic abortion rituals, with each one of these pages having at the top of it an upside-down cross. Here's what it says, quote, "First, find a quiet space. Bring a mirror if you can. Just before taking the medication, gaze at your reflection and on your personhood. Home in on your intent, your responsibility to you. Take a few deep, relaxing breaths." The instructions then go on to say how the individual should read some tenets out loud about how their body is subject to their will alone. Then they take the abortion pills before reciting another set of tenets, pledging their belief in science. Then, after the woman expels the dead fetus, the instructions tell her to return to staring at her own reflection in the mirror and to recite the final affirmation, which I don't want to repeat, but you can read it up on your screen if you so wish. This social media post then urges people to go to an actual full-length article over on Cosmos's website, which details the experience of an anonymous 37-year-old woman who conducted one of these satanic rituals herself. Now again, if this post and this article were found just on some fringe part of the internet, this would not even be worth discussing. I would not read aloud to you any of this. But this is not from some fringe part of the internet. As I mentioned earlier, this was found in the largest women's magazine here in America.
Playing these characters, because it's very spiritual what we do as actors. You're on the set, you have your chakras all open, you're allowing this character to use your body as a vessel. Mm-hmm. And so you have to learn how to flip the switch on and flip it off. Otherwise, it could drive you mad.
Mm-hmm.
because it's spiritual what we do, you yes. understand?
Yeah.
We allow these characters and these stories to use our bodies as a vessel. That is a real, like, if you think about it, that's you allowing this other energy.
Project. I let the character speak to me. What we do as actors is very spiritual.
That marriage is not just a bond, but a sacred bond between a man and a woman.
This morning, love triumphed in the highest court in our land.
This happened for a lot of different reasons. We all know them. But a big one has been celebrity influence. People like Michael Strahan. Now, who doesn't like Michael Strahan? Well, now I can't stand the guy. But there was a time when Giants, great football dude, the gap in the teeth, he always had something to say to the reporters. He didn't even like the reporters. I thought he was okay. And then he shows up on the Good Morning America show, and he indulges and engages in things that should not be on television. Like the day he had Damon on. Desmond. Yeah, the kid who dresses in women's clothes and interviews them and pretends it's all normal. This moves the needle. Celebrities are important, and they're being used as part of a strategy. We gotta be on guard.
Pew Research predicts the number of Americans who say they affiliate with no religion will outnumber Christians. Much of this is due to the growing number of young Christians leaving the church by age 30, or those who never affiliated with the religion at all.
One of the most concerning findings is that the number of people who say they're no longer Christian has doubled in the last 10 years.
Cultural shift, spurred by changing demographics, reflects a new religious landscape where, over the last 20 years, the majority of Americans no longer belong to a church.
Well, America's school children are struggling to read and write, so why are we teaching them about sex all day? Instead of using a Bible, a Pennsylvania school board president swore in on a stack of graphic sex novels. And I'm not talking about To Kill a Mockingbird. We're talking about deeply sexual content, way too graphic for school. Some school board members in Fairfax, Virginia did the same thing last week, like Carl Frisch, current vice chair and soon-to-be chair of the board.
I, Carl V. Frisch,
do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia,
and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Those books he was sworn in on. Well, they've been banned in several districts for depicting things like underage gay porn. And Carl's been on the board since 2019, and just 2 years ago. Carl was at a meeting where an outraged parent spoke out about all this, and one of the books he was upset with was Gender Queer and Lawn Boy.
Both of these books include pedophilia, sex between men and boys. Both books describe different acts. One book describes a fourth grade boy performing.
Y'all, my life expectancy for my lung disease, just my lung disease, is 3 to 5 years. That's after being diagnosed. I've been having my breathing problems for decades now, but within like the past 8 years is when I started experiencing severe breathing problems. I was diagnosed at a 46% lung capacity, and that was 2 years ago. I'm at 43% lung capacity. So I used to let it eat me up, but I don't no more, and that's all because of God. Now I just wake up and I just try to live in joy, happiness, and peace, because that's the only thing that allows my body to not feel stressed in my sickness. My lung disease is not reversible, but I do believe in God. I feel like anything is possible. I just try to live my life like it's my last. I don't live with no fear in my heart. I try to do everything to the best of my ability. This is like something that can get extremely dark, and don't mention my other autoimmune disease on top of it. So I'm just trying to live my life and be proud of what I do have that's left, and everybody else should live their life.
Good morning, ma.
Good morning, brother.
Yeah, how much do you pay for it over here?
$10,000 per month.
Per month?
Yes.
Where?
Oh.
Can you take me a tour, your place?
Let's go there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so this is where you stay?
Yes, sir.
That's your kitchen. Where do you cook?
This is my kitchen, yeah.
Wait, where are you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What about your bathroom? This is where you have your bed.
Yeah.
What about here? What do you do here?
Toilet.
Yes. Is that? Wait.
We use nylon, so we throw it.
You use nylon, then you throw it over.
Wear camouflage, masquerade as something that I'm not, right?
How's that different than a trans person?
Race and gender are two completely separate things. They have
the truth ain't
nothing
separate
to do with each other, and the existence of being transgender does not imply the existence of being transracial.
So you can pretend to say that you have ovaries when you don't, but you can't put makeup on to pretend to be a black person.
What transgender women are claimed to have ovaries?
There's lots of men that pretend to have ovaries. In fact, the CDC guidance says right now that men can chest feed. Do you think men can chest feed?
No. Oh my.
That's not the sole criterion for being.
So let me ask you a question. What is a woman?
A woman is someone who identifies as one.
Answer the question without saying the word
no.
Woman. You can't say the word woman. That's called circular reasoning. It's like saying a tree is something that looks like a tree. So I'll ask again, what is a woman?
A woman is a person who lives a lifestyle aligned with feminine characteristics, not necessarily your chromosomes.
What are you doing?
So someone who just wears a dress. So what you are doing is you are reducing womanhood to a costume.
No, so are you suggesting that, like, a transgender woman goes about her day pretending to be a woman, but then when she gets home, she starts acting like a man?
No, delusional in every part of life, I understand that, but that doesn't mean they're not delusional. There's a series of mental conditions where you could pretend to be a wolf. Can you be trans species too? Does your own mental condition dictate external reality, yes or no?
So I'm here because the Lord Jesus Christ sent me. He said, go and tell my people to come back to me. Go and tell my lost sheep to return to me before it's too late. I love you, says the Lord Jesus Christ, so much so that I came and made myself man and died at the cross for you. Before you were born, before you even existed, I already knew you. Many of my people have forgotten about me and have strayed away from my presence and from my truth. But the time has come for my children to repent and return to me. Very truly, I tell you that you are living in the last days, and time is no more. I am coming, says the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am coming sooner than what many people may think. Many of you are battling secret battles, just barely getting by. Oh, my children, how I want to deliver you from that depression, from that sickness, from those thoughts of suicide that creep in at night. But I can only do that if you seek me and seek a personal relationship with me, not religion. My Holy Spirit weeps for many of my people are being led astray. My Spirit weeps for you, my children, for I wish not for you to perish. So this day I say, repent and let go of the wickedness of this world and return to me before it's too late. Repent, my children, says the Lord Jesus Christ, for my warnings and correction have gone out to you today, and now you are held accountable before me, says the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Kenyan and Nigerian Catholic bishops have both issued official statements regarding Pope Francis's decision to allow Roman Catholic priests to bless same-sex couples. The defiant Kenyan bishops maintain that the church's understanding of marriage as a sacrament between a man and a woman remains unchanged despite Pope Francis's announcement. While the Catholic bishops in Nigeria stated that blessings or celebrations of same-sex unions are against God's law and are considered sacrilegious within the Catholic faith, the bishops argued that every nation has a right to self-determination of its laws and cultural values. They called for respectful dialogue while upholding their view that same-sex blessings cannot be permitted within the Catholic Church in Nigeria. The bishop said that the declaration recently made by the Pope allowing priests to bless same-sex couples is not the same as blessing same-sex marriages. Francis's openness to LGBTQ Catholics has been an element in the opposition he has faced from many African churches. His latest move on blessings is likely to face even more resistance in these quarters.
What about walking it out on Christmas Eve? This fella named Bishop Burford, I had him here, and I'm glad to say that when he came, our spirits did not agree. He talking about 150 people came out of darkness to light, and he did not preach the gospel. He did not make an invitation to salvation. He made an invitation to church membership. He told the people, come on home. You better find out what home that is. Home is hell for some folk. Somebody tell you to come home, you better say, who's home? Who's the head of the house? We have no commitment to anybody. Our commitment is to God. When folks start teaching stuff that's going to lead souls astray, we don't just be quiet about it. We warn the souls. Talking about we can't let them have the culture. It's their culture. That's their stuff. We're different. We're called out.
A pastor in the city of Bryan was arraigned this morning for housing the homeless in his church. Pastor Chris Avell, he pleaded not guilty on 18 counts. Those charges included zoning violations for running a church that sheltered the homeless. The law states residential use in first floor buildings in a business district is banned. The pastor tells WTOL 11 he was just doing his God-given duty.
This is what the Word of God teaches, is to take care of the widow and orphan. And we have widows in our church, and we've had people who, they may not be kids in, under the law, but they're orphans. And this is how I worship my God. And I just want to be able to worship my God.
Oh my God, finally, finally. The Child Eater Fountain in Bern, Switzerland. Finally, somebody poured blood over it, like red color, so people wake the fuck up. What's really going on?
We are seeing what the FDA is describing as a catastrophic drop in life expectancy. What? We search for answers with Dr. Pierre Corey next. We all notice that there seems to be more tragic stories every day of young people, especially young men, dropping dead. And now the FDA is warning of a catastrophic drop in U.S. life expectancy. In the first 9 months of this year, 158,000 more Americans died unexpectedly than in all of 2019. Now, just to give you some perspective, that's more than the casualties in every war since Vietnam, all of them combined.
In other news, the Tomb of Drake is set to be completed in downtown Toronto in late 2024.
The underground portion of the tomb is complete, and it's got everything Drake requested for the afterlife. So there's rooms filled with Patron, there's a room for 21 Savage, and there's also a fully functioning OVO store. To prevent grave robbers, we have had an old lady curse all the items. So if someone does steal something for the rest of their life, they will be followed home by the Owl Man. Besides that, the only sealed item in Drake's sarcophagus is a pirated copy of Stranger Things on DVD.
Fairies are Disney-fied, right? Disney took things that are satanic and they made them all soft and cuddly. That's why when you see a fairy, it looks like Tinkerbell. Oh, fairies are pretty. They're fun. Fairies are demons. Fairies are like spirits. It's like spirits slash fairies. Same thing. What's interesting is like, the movie Peter Pan. So just think about his name. I mean, obviously his first name kind of sounds like something. It's not like the Apostle Peter. And then you have Pan. So Peter Pan literally plays the Pan pipes. And if you guys aren't sure who Pan is, he's like a goat demon. He's like this part man, part goat of the forest. And he plays his Pan pipes and typically he kidnaps people. That's Pan. Okay, so if Pan the deity was known for being in the forest. You know, you see Peter Pan's wearing green. He's got like a feather in his hat, playing the pipes. What does he do in that movie? He takes children in their pajamas out their window. But before he does that, he has a little scout that goes before him, right? And who's the scout that goes before him? That would be Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell went in the window first, and then they take the kids to Never Never Land. Then obviously when it's Disney-fied, it sounds like a fun place. But you think about it, it's like where the pirates are at. It's like it's not a good place. It's probably like a place you don't come back from. You know, you never grow up when you go to Never Neverland, probably because you don't ever get a chance to grow up.
Have you heard about what's happening in the Democratic Republic of the Congo? Well, millions of people are in serious crisis, and according to advocacy groups and refugee agencies, the world isn't paying attention. Here's a quick recap of what's going down in the DRC. According to Human Rights Watch, rebels in Eastern DRC have been committing mass killings, sexual assaults, and other war crimes. According to the advocacy group, rebels in Eastern DRC have rained down on populated areas, damaging infrastructure, and killing and injuring civilians. In fact, fighting between the DRC's National Army and the rebel group has displaced too many people to count. The UN Refugee Agency says the DRC is the most complex and long-standing humanitarian crisis in Africa and is home to the fourth largest group of internationally displaced people in the world. Over 5 million people are displaced today, and more than 1 million Congolese have sought asylum, mostly within Africa. Innocent civilians have been forced to flee their homes with little hope of ever returning. And keep in mind, the DRC isn't just home to its born citizens. In fact, 500,000 refugees from neighboring countries call the nation home, 3/4 of whom live outside refugee camps and settlements today. And to make things worse, while all of this is happening, disease outbreaks and natural disasters are wreaking havoc on the people. Oh, and we can't forget that buried beneath the surface of African nations is wealth beyond comparison, making its mining industry one of the most important in the world. Africa is a major producer of gold, diamond, cobalt, coal, copper, and so much more. And Congo has never been the exception, as it is one of the major mining countries on the continent. Earlier this year, Pope Francis visited the country and said the world should stop choking Africa and get their hands off the DRC. Advocates have long said that while others get rich off these nations, they are literally left to starve. According to
Milei recently won the election for president of Argentina. He's not been sworn in yet. He's still president-elect. But his very first trip as president-elect was to fly to New York City and go to a cemetery, to a grave that contains the corpse of an old dead Kabbalah wizard, and pray to him.
You got it.
And thank him for giving him an election victory in Argentina. That's the purpose of going there, to thank the dead Kabbalah wizard for throwing the election his way. Who else has done this?
She's 13. Her parents don't know yet.
So we don't do them here. We don't do them in Missouri. It's illegal. But we do have, I can give you a packet of the two locations that do it in Kansas. They have people that'll come pick them up. They have people that'll pay for the whole thing. Yes. I will call them and tell them what the situation is. They're going to help you with that.
All within Planned Parenthood?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if the school agrees or not. We say that she was at the doctor. And we can cut off our letterhead so it doesn't say where she was. Trust me, this is not our first rodeo. They're going to know exactly how to handle that. I will call them.
Okay, so 13-year-olds can go across state lines.
Absolutely.
Planned Parenthood helps them do that. Mm-hmm. And then pays for the whole thing?
I won't say it pays for the whole thing, but they will work for you. Sometimes they do end up paying for it. Yeah, it's illegal in Missouri.
How many times do you do this a year?
Well, like abortion.
Girls coming out of state, yes.
Oh, every day.
We get, yeah.
Every day. Every day. Wow. Mm-hmm. Because we set up hotels for them. We set up every day. Every day.
So, this is so great because she's 13.
Yeah.
She's so young.
And she's scared, you know? And that's what we're here for.
And her parents do not need, they're like so conservative. And I do not let them know.
And they won't. In Planned Parenthood, we consider you an adult. You can make the decision, then we got you.
Okay. And then can she come in here for follow-up?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she doesn't have to go back there for follow-up. When she's done with them, she can come back here.
And what about, like, contraceptives?
We'll take care of all of that.
All without any consent?
Yeah, we never tell her parents anything. She's an adult on our clients.
You know, no true faith, so. All I'm just trying to say that God has a cutoff point, man. And I pray that you guys are not out here living in willful sin. And, you know, because if he give you that reprobated mind, you're going to be like that pastor, be in defense. You're going to still be preaching. But guess what? The next day after what transpired for us, the woman that got pregnant came in there fighting, all that stuff wore off. Guess what? He's going to be back looking again.
And even your word and sermons will change. It wouldn't be as much as a conviction. It wouldn't be much on spiritual warfare, on sin. You're basically just giving feel good motivation at this point, because you're not even living by anything that you're preaching. Now, I'm just going to read a couple bullet points, because I see that if you've watched our shows, you should know that we are heading into a digital world, a biometric world. And I just put a list of topics together. I'm not going to read each and every single article, but I'm just going to read the read the name of the article just so you got, all can see like what is happening. So I do have one article that I'll briefly read. So the Loan Depot, it is a loan department. It was a ransom attack on there. They confirmed that millions of people had their data stolen. The company said they will notify these individuals by this data breach and provide them with some type of free credit monitoring service and identity protection service. But although its investigation is ongoing, the company has determined that an unauthorized third party gained access to sensitive personal information of approximately 16.6 million individuals in its system. Now, I'm just going to read a couple headlines that's been floating around within the past 2 months of just cyber attacks and ransomware. So the healthcare system, healthcare facilities had a data breach that impacted 40 facilities. Also, Fidelity National Financial hackers stole 13 million people's data. In Fox News, a home thermostat was found vulnerable to attack. Now, I actually forgot about this article, but let me open this up and read. It says another home thermostat found vulnerable to attack. So it says a wake-up call to the security of our home connected devices follows a recent incident involving a Bosch thermostat model, the BCC100, and explores how we can protect our devices. Now, the issue could allow hackers to access and manipulate the thermostat settings or even install malicious software. The discovery underscores a broader concern. Virtually any device connected to the internet, from your coffee machine to your security cameras, could be at risk. Now, moving along, reading off also Comcast and Xfinity, it was hacked. Nearly 36 million users were impacted by this. There was it was another loan department. Their data breach was for 166 million people. So I'm saying this to say, of course, this sounds fishy to me. You know, they want us to go digital with biometrics, these QR codes. It doesn't even seem like we have a stable digital infrastructure. It seems like even the highest of the companies are suffering from these cyber attacks. I'm starting to think, I don't know, maybe I believe they know more than what they know. I mean, maybe it's our own country, own governments that have something to do with these attacks that's able to have tap into and get people's information. I can't, you know, it's easy to point the blame. Each and every time we get hacked, they're able to say, oh, it came from this place, it came from that place. Well, how would you know if you're not able to have anybody in custody of what's going on or who started the attack? So it's just mighty fishy that even healthcare systems, thermostats, everything is being tracked and infiltrated. But this is the direction they're pushing us into. It seems like they will say, like, well, wait a minute, flag on the play. We can't control everything that's happening, but they're still pushing for this. So I would just say you all keep your eye out and don't be so quick to sign up right away for all these QR codes to have everything in your home running off digital thermostats going on your phone. Like, whatever it is, just be careful and protect yourself.
Well, the new smart utility meters are being installed on the side of millions of homes, but some homeowners claim it's making them sick.
Energy companies say that smart meters are really the future, but more people are coming forward concerned about what they believe the devices are doing. Here's 7 investigator Jonathan Carlson.
Carol Garcia showed us the smart meters on the back of her Rochester Hills home, but she says she's scared to stand near it for too long.
Bloody nose, headache, vertigo, nausea, insomnia
are the symptoms she says she's suffered from since she moved in.
Within the 6 months, I started having these health issues.
She blames it all on the meters, which use electromagnetic frequency to send DTE energy power usage data. She even showed us letters from her doctors asking DTE to allow her to opt out of the new meters.
Right now, we don't have a choice and an option.
She's not alone. 7 Action News has been reporting on this debate for some time. Last year, we heard from other Metro Detroiters.
Feeling like your head is in a vice.
Tinnitus in my ears, a little bit of ringing in my ears.
But DTE contends the meters are safe and secure, low-power radio transmissions are used. They also say they've only gotten a small number of complaints. Garcia believes that's because the public isn't aware of what the meters are doing. At least one state representative has stepped forward showing concern the issue could end up in Lansing. We're in Rochester Hills tonight. I'm Jonathan Carlson.
Intense robotics warfare training to toughen AI up and test its capabilities.
cold weather in Chicago is leaving dead Teslas to rot in parking lots. So the Chicago area is experiencing some extreme cold this week. I'm talking like -3 degrees or -30 with the wind chill. And because of the cold, multiple Tesla supercharger stations around the area are down. The worst part, Tesla has yet to comment about it. The big problem with EVs in cold weather is that the batteries need to be kept at a reasonable temperature in order for it to be driven and charged properly. So when the temperatures drop that low, the batteries are working overtime to keep its temperature regulated. This means as the temperature drops, so will your range, significantly, and charging times will increase by 2 or 3 times. One of the Tesla owners whose car was dead at the supercharger station in Evergreen Park said that his battery was projected to charge in 2 hours, which normally it takes 45 minutes. Combine those extremely long charging times with multiple charging stations down, and you're left with a Tesla wasteland in the Chicago winter.
Would you ever transfer your consciousness?
I would.
Yeah?
I would. Yeah, I would transfer my consciousness.
To another body or to a computer?
To my own body.
Okay.
Because they found a way now where they can actually take a skin cell from you, mm-hmm. right? So they would take your own skin cell. It's you. They would then put it in the right laboratory conditions and turn that skin cell into a stem cell. Mm. From there, they would program the stem cell to recreate an entire version of you to any year specified. Yeah. And then from there, you can transfer your consciousness into that brand new version of actually you. So it's still you.
You could be a kid again.
Yeah, you can be a kid again. You can be an adult. You can be younger. And you can filter out all the diseases and everything else.
Man, that's insane. What are the Dark Brothers? I've seen you talk about this on your YouTube.
Yeah, the Dark Brothers. So Thoth the Atlantean, he wrote these Emerald Tablets, right? Mm-hmm. The Emerald Tablets of Thoth. In there, he talks about these Dark Brothers or these people that operate from behind the scenes. And you see them even today. You don't see them, but you know they're there.
Right.
So they navigate the world and they operate from behind the scenes. Like there's people on this planet that you'll never see in Forbes, Entrepreneur magazine, but they're worth trillions of dollars. Forget 100 million, 50 million, 50 billion, 30. No, those people are poor compared to these people. They're worth 700 trillion, $800 trillion. They operate from behind the scenes and they pull all the strings everywhere worldwide. They fund both sides of all wars. Mm-hmm. And, these people manipulate everything from behind the scene. You'll never know who they are.
Here's another reason to make your car payment on time. Ford in the process of a patent application for self-driving cars to drive away from their owners. After a series of missed payments, Ford's proposal will force the car to drive itself to a repossession agency. Having the car drive away would be a last resort.
Corporate America was very different back in the 70s. There was smoking indoors, conversation pits. People wore three-piece suits to work on the regular. Like, it was just regular. We talk a lot about technology taking jobs in the future, but we rarely stop to think about all of the jobs from the past that technology has already taken. So I was reading this article and I found it to be very interesting, so I just want to share. Okay, so these were switchboard operators. All of the calls in their office would essentially be sent to this one room where all of the switchboard operators were. And it was their job to answer the phone and then route the call to the appropriate offices. There were also professional mail sorters. It's kind of hard to even imagine a world before email, but before email, really important things were sent in the mail. So companies would literally have piles of mail delivered to them every single day. And it was the mail sorter's job to sort and distribute the mail to the people in the office. There were also professional computer operators, like the OS in iOS. Before there were operating systems built into the devices, that was a job. One of the things that computer operators would have to do back in the 70s was manually replace the computer's storage throughout the day. Computer data was basically stored on a cassette tape, and computer operators had to replace them throughout the day. But the wildest part about all of this is that they're going to do this to us in the future. Like, they're going to have articles written about the way that we work today. And they're going to be like, they used to actually have to move their lips in order to communicate with their boss. Isn't that wild?
The devil is the prince and the power of the air. So they want to get everybody connected. Because, you know, it's a part of being tracked. If you're going to be tracked, you got to be able to connect into everything. Got to know your movements.
And they're practicing to see how it works. Like, can we tap into this? How much information are we able to get in this amount of seconds? Okay, I believe this is all just a, what kind of obstacle course for them? Running practice.
Yeah.
You have something I can keep going?
basically on the topic I was speaking on, 2 Corinthians 7 verses 9 to 10. Let your sorrow lead to true repentance, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So you got to have true repentance. You know, true repentance is not to be regretted, not to be undone, not to be, you don't return back to your vomit, you know, once you have left it, you know. Basically don't go back into willful sin, because it's not regular sin anymore. When you sinning without God, you know, when you don't know who God is, when you doing the same, like I'm in fornication or I'm in adultery, I'm living how I'm living and smoking and drinking and stuff like that, you know, cussing and all that stuff, and without God, that's sin. It's not willful sin. Now, if I die while I'm living like that, I'm going to hell. But after I know the Lord, after I got in that Bible, I know God, I believe in what Jesus did on the cross, I know his do's and don'ts. And now if I go back to start getting in adultery or getting in fornication, smoking and drinking, doing what I want to do, now that's willfully sinning. That's not sin, because you know God is a knowledge barrier. You know, that's the difference. Psalms 125 verses 5. And so, as for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Okay. The Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. So therefore, the with is the people that are sinning without God. Those are the workers of iniquity, are the people that are sinning without God. They don't believe in God. They might know his word, but they don't believe at all. But the willfully sinning people, that's sort of, he's going to lead you with the people that's already without God. You know, because I made the distinction between the two. So so just know that. And then also, you know, look at other people. You know, by your fruit, you should know them. So don't just listen to a person saying, like my sister said, like saying that they're a Christian. Look at their fruit. You know, if they're willfully sinning Christians, sometimes, you know, these people have that reprobated mind already. You know, they're going to make it seem like whatever they do is, I'm still a Christian. Getting drunk, I'm still a Christian. Man, that girl got a fat butt, I want to go over there, you know, get her number. I'm still a Christian. No, it's not in what you say. It's not the hearers of the word, but it's the doers of the word. So if they're not doing, and it's all always just in speech, then you should caution yourself from hanging around them, or don't mess with them, because they're a willfully sinning Christian, and the Bible speaks against a true Christian even making friends with them.
All right, okay, so moving right along, we got Chinese lab crafts mutant COVID-19 strain with 100% kill rate in humanized mice. Okay, so in Wuhan, there's a study. Chinese scientists are experimenting with a mutant COVID-19 strain that is 100% lethal to humanized mice. The deadly virus known as GXP2V attacked the brains of mice that were engineered to reflect genetic makeup similar to people. So I'm assuming they said clearly with genetic makeup similar to people that they've altered these mice DNA and mixed it with human DNA. The deadly virus is a mutated version of a GX 2017, a coronavirus cousin that was reportedly discovered in Malaysian in 2017. Now, all the mice that were infected with the virus died within just 8 days, which researchers noted was a surprisingly rapid death. Also, the WHO, which is the WHO, warns against disease X as 20 times more menacing than COVID, meaning 20 times more deadlier than COVID. The World Health Organization, WHO, has issued a grave warning against a potential global pandemic that could surpass the impact of COVID-19 by a staggering 20 times. Termed as disease X, this hypothetical threat serves as a clarion call for global leaders to unite in preparation for an unseen menace that could reshape the landscape of public health. At the World Economic Forum, the recent WHO session titled Preparing for Disease X emphasized the urgent need for proactive strategies to prevent or manage a potential outbreak. While Disease X is not a real threat yet, it represents an unknown pathogen that could trigger the next global pandemic, demanding unprecedented levels of preparedness.
World leaders gathering in Davos, Switzerland this week are going to discuss Disease X, a hypothetical virus 20 times deadlier than COVID-19. COVID-19 has killed almost 7 million people worldwide. What would a virus 20 times deadlier be like? And is that a possibility that we could see in our lifetime?
It's definitely a possibility, because if you look at COVID-19 and compare it, for example, to the 1918 influenza pandemic, you can see that it is magnitudes less deadly than 1918. And there are strains of viruses that have very high mortality rates that could develop the ability to transmit efficiently from human to human. If we did so poorly with something like COVID-19, you can imagine how poorly we would do with something like a 1918 level event.
Do we know, and maybe this is one of the things they're trying to work out, but where a pathogen like that could originate from?
Likely these types of pathogens are going to be respiratory viruses, and they may be viruses that are circulating in certain animal species but are not able to transmit yet efficiently between humans. So that could be in bats like COVID-19. It could be in birds.
Now, listen to what I just said. They said that this perhaps, not perhaps, that this supposedly isn't even here yet. But they already have a name for it. They already know that it could be 20 times more deadlier than COVID. They're already trying to make plans to be in preparation for it. So what does that mean? They're trying to get you prepped up for it. How would they know to be prepared for something they don't even know about or don't even know the studies of it? So obviously they've been playing around with it. How would you know it's 20 times more deadlier? So it isn't here yet, they say, but they are saying get prepared for it. It's 20 times more deadlier. And it is called Disease X. Go ahead.
Luke 21 verses 11, I mentioned this a little bit, but and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven. The pestilence is, you know, this disease X, man, that they're saying is such 20 times more deadly than COVID, and a lot of people are dying from, you know, COVID. It's a website. I saw on Instagram. It's a website called Died Suddenly Worldwide. And I believe some of that was from, you know, the stuff they was getting in their arm. You know, but a lot of people are just dying suddenly.
Young people too. Young athletes, like people that are not even, you know, they're dying at a younger rate.
So
now,
no matter what comes out with this X stuff, and they're gonna push you. You know, they're gonna make up a concoction, and, you know, for as a vaccine for it. And I'm not taking it. You know, I'm not taking nothing they have to offer. You know, if it's God's will for me to go from disease X, you know, it's His will. You know, I'm gonna pray to God, and I'm believe on what He's gonna do for me. If He, you know, if it's His will for us to perish or whatever, you know, we're gonna go because of the disease X. But you know, God has control of who stays and who goes, who dies and who lives. And you know, like I just the scripture I just read, if I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die to the Lord. So it doesn't matter. You know.
DARPA has a new Mystery X plane. They said it will revolutionize flights by breaking this old century aviation design paradigm. Definitely looks like some type of... That's a DARPA's preparing to revolutionize flights as it moves forward with the development of its experimental X plane, which the agency says will upend a century of flight technology with an aircraft featuring no moving control surfaces. I'm just going to stop right there at that article. But as I was speaking to Dez on the phone a couple days ago, I was just telling him I'm noticing this theme of just strictly X. You have Twitter X, you have Disease X, you have X-Men, X-Files, this new, they have planes, Generation X. You have, what else is with X that was, X payments. Elon Musk is trying to revolutionize the payment system and come up with X payments that he wants to replace Cash App and banks with X payments. You have Sports X. And so as I'm just looking into all of this X, I'm like, okay, what is X? There has to be something to X. And so I looked up who is the X god. So in Greek mythology, there is a god, a little g god named Prometheus. Now, he is sometimes referred to as the god of fire. Now, Prometheus is best known for defying the Olympian gods by stealing fire from them and giving it to humanity in the form of technology, knowledge, and more generally, civilization. And so, yeah, that's it. So I just took it and just, so if you all want to do more studying on that, you can look up Prometheus. And so I just took it with that, like, okay, this is the era we're living in now. This is the X era. This is what they're getting us prepared for. Yes, we can see that everything is moving towards technology, anti-aging, science, you know. And I even take it a step further. I was thinking to myself, like, man, Scientology might be one of the biggest religions. And I'm thinking about it like, man, they even put science in school. They, you know, yeah. So it's, you know, and we know science just keeps people away from God. So then yeah. When you get out of school, you got Scientology. They get you prepped up for it already. But yeah, I believe that we're headed, you know, we're in the X era, and they're harvesting this demon, this god, and they got the signs and the logos out for it. And so if you all want to do more research on that, you can. Yeah, and Des made a good point. He said that Elon Musk also has the Neuralink as well. So
trying to get in your body, and then you just read something about things being hacked, so you'll be able to hack the Neuralink and then control them.
Exactly.
Yeah, but some people believe you, if you took the jab, you know, you able to be controlled right now.
Exactly.
You know, them nanobots go up in your head, and you know, now you out here running after people, fulfilling problems.
Texas has passed a law that drunk drivers, if they kill a parent or parents who have children, they would have to pay child support, I believe, until the child is maybe 18 or 21, maybe 18. But I believe that's very good. But I don't think they should stop there. I think if you run a stop sign, or if you're texting and driving and not paying attention, and you kill someone and take their parents away, you should be liable for that child as well. That, you know, you pay child support as well.
If you don't have cameras in that car, they're gonna fight you tooth and nail. That was not on my phone.
That is absolutely true.
Oh, you can't say that was on my phone.
That is absolutely true. That was not on my phone. Did you all hear the story of hundreds of bodies found behind a Mississippi prison spark community wide rage? Now, I have been seeing that story. We haven't got a chance to cover it, but I just want to talk about it briefly. They say the members of the Jackson, Mississippi community and national supporters are demanding answers and investigations after over 215 bodies were found behind a Mississippi prison in late December. And I say over 200 bodies were found alongside unmarked graves at a Hinds County Paupers Cemetery located behind a prison in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, as new reports continue to surface and make regional and national headlines, family members of the deceased are seeking answers. Activist Arthur Reed quickly pointed out the inhuman condition that the corpse were in by stating how many graves were only accompanied by a metal rod and a number and a foul smell that attracted buzzards to the gravesite. Now, in addition to the conditions that the bodies were subject to, another factor and element of this occurrence is the fact that the families of the deceased were not notified at the time of their death based on reports by PBS.
Breaking news is coming out of Jackson, Mississippi. 215 bodies were found buried behind the Jackson, Mississippi jail. Y'all, this is shocking. If you're not from Mississippi, you may not know that earlier last year, a mother's son was missing. In the end, it was discovered that a off-duty Jackson police officer hit and killed him, and they buried him without telling his mother. They tried to use every excuse in the book. They set
once the word came out that they knew where the body was, they set a date and time to exhume the body. Can y'all believe that Jackson PD showed up 3 hours before the mother showed up to witness her son's body being exhumed? Once the body was exhumed, y'all, his ID was in his front pocket. Jackson PD was trying to say that they didn't know who he was. It was just a big hoopla. But now that we are finding out that 215 bodies have been found buried behind the Jackson, Mississippi jail, this is disturbing. As you read here that when this was found out about, mothers came to the press conference and held up pictures for their loved ones, and they wanted to know if their loved one was there.
I'll also give you all a quick biometric update and of what's going on just around the world. So these are new directions for fingerprint biometrics imaging and market. So Ethiopians will need to hold the national digital ID, which is FATA, to access government services at some point in the near future. The government is working on integrating public services with the digital ID while also signing people up for it. Less than 4 million people have it so far. Also, WorldCoin has enrolled the iris biometrics of 500,000 Argentinians and is one of 3 countries where more than 1% of the population now has its digital ID. The World app has also been updated to make scheduling enrollments easier. Also, selfie biometrics from Yodi have been integrated into an app that reports rent payments for credit scores in the UK as identity verification and authentication with mobile services continue to expand. Also, a process for developing 3D fingerprint biometric images using digital holography has been developed by a professor in the US. His lab uses a nanoscale columnar thin film layer to preserve finger marks and then create a hologram from them, therefore reconstructing the fingerprint as a 3D image. Now, the innovation comes on the heels of a researcher's claim that similar patterns among fingerprints from the same person can be matched with AI. Also, the dream of a mass market for payment cards with built-in fingerprint authentication is over for Zwipe, as a company turns its focus to biometric cards for access control. The turn away from its paid product line and towards access is part of a plan for Zwipe to improve cash flow by $3.8 million over the next 2 years. Now, Passkey platform is the ID Melon orchestration has integrated Xperex, a flagship fingerprint scanner, to provide passwordless authentication for account access. The partners say the deal will lead to the scanners being developed for industries like retail, manufacturing, health, and financial services. Nambia has extended its deadline for linking SIMs to digital IDs to the end of March, after which the service suspensions are expected. Now, improper SIM registration has prompted Russia to block 600,000 mobile accounts in a 4-month span, and Kenya's central bank is worried about the prospect of remotely registered SIMs being used for fraud in the country. So basically, phone SIMs are basically being connected to a biometric digital ID so they can see what's going on. For biometrics, that's what I have for biometrics. And I just have a few topics, and that'll be it. Do you have anything, Des, before I think I only have one more?
Nope. We just see the world's heading towards this digital age even more. You know, the Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. And we see that knowledge is increase now.
Highly so.
Yeah.
Also, I've been seeing a lot of promotion and ads for like monthly income, where they're doing trial runs of offering a certain amount of people, maybe a $2,000 or $1,000 monthly stipend, selecting the amount of people and just monitoring how that will help them. Now, I don't know if they're doing these experiments to see how this will work in the future with a universal basic income, but I do know you have to do your experiments and your projects first to see what you need to work on, what you need to increase. And I don't know if they're monitoring what you buy, or I don't know, things of that nature. But I've just been seeing a lot of ads and stuff for getting free money and universal basic income, and them doing projects and experiments, selecting individuals from different states to receive monthly stipends. Okay, so this last topic that I have for the day is pretty, I don't know, it's pretty interesting to me. So UK's powerful laser weapon in action hits aerial targets for the first time. Now this is, I'm going to try to put a picture up here so you all can see. This is a laser beam, right? So if you all know the laser beam, it's able to hit aerial targets now, basically sky to the ground. It says the UK armed forces are closer to having a powerful laser weapon that can hit targets with high accuracy and low cost. It's called the Dragon Fire Laser, which is a directed energy weapon, which is the acronym is LDEW. Its system has successfully fired at aerial targets for the first time in a trial at the MODS range. Now, Dragon Fire is a laser direct energy weapon with an operating cost of basically low operating cost. It is designed as a line of sight system with a classified range. Firing it for 10 seconds is equivalent to using a heater for an hour. It could be a long-term alternative for some air defense tasks that rely on expensive ammunition. Now, also, come to find out, the UK is not the only one that has laser weapons. Scientists find new way to supercharge lasers by a million times. Japanese startup plans to vaporize space junk using ground lasers. Israel also has one. Israel's iron beam laser weapon may join combat service soon. And the UK has it. And you got to know that we have it too as well. So reading about these laser weapons and all that, it just made me think about what happened in Hawaii. You know what I mean? It just made me think about what happened in Hawaii, because that was really, really quick. Just listen to a lot of those stories, and they don't talk about Maui anymore, but they say tons of kids have went missing. A lot of people have told they couldn't go back to their property. And a lot of people were saying that the fire just hit so quick, you know, and so rapidly, like you didn't even really get a chance to. It was just really.
And then the people that had blue coats of paint on their roof, their house, the blue cars and blue coats of paint on their roof, their houses was not impacted at all. And they said that the laser cannot set on fire or cannot damage anything that has a blue coat and for the cars and for the houses. It was even on some pictures, man, you seen that it was a row of cars, all of them was burnt up except for the blue car, and you know, houses, all the houses burnt up except for the blue coat or a blue house. That was actually on
also
that video.
California's new law requires students K-12 students to learn media literacy. Now, California passed a new law that will mandate students K-12 to learn media literacy as part of their plan. The bill is designed to help students develop skills in identifying false information online aimed at a worrying rise in distrust in the media. So, of course, you know, while the media is on the rise, people are tuning to media for basically media is like a new world. You get to find all sorts of information. Social media is like the new whatever, you know, you dig. But now they want to find a way. This, to me, this is a way that they want to regulate it to basically teach the children coming up that, I don't know, they're using it basically saying that the bill is to help students identify false information. I don't know. So maybe they'll teach them that, hey, if you read anything from these sources, this is the only credible information. If you read something from these sources, you know, don't believe it. Or you never know what they would try to teach them in the school. But that's all the show we have for you all. So again, just to wrap it up, just to go as what we were saying in the introduction, it's time to get saved. If you are a Christian, it's time to develop a Christian lifestyle. It's something that we have to continue to practice at. You know, you just don't become a basketball player overnight, a football player overnight, a coach overnight, you know. So you just don't become a full, converted, strong Christian overnight. You know what I mean? It's a lifestyle. It's a certain way you have to live your life. The old person that you used to be has to die on that cross. Mm-hmm. The new you has to practice a new lifestyle, which of course will take time and practice, but we can do it. Yeah. Read your word, develop a prayer habit, be around a body of Christ, Christ-minded individuals. Try to get into a church. I know it may be hard, but try to find a church, be around edifying individuals, read your word, and put away your old practices, your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your hatred, your grudges, and you have to be renewed.
Yeah. Bible says, Paul says, I die daily. You don't get rollover salvation. Every day you have to walk this walk. Every day you have to walk this path of denial. Just because you denied yourself yesterday and you put on that old man today, then you're going to be judged on the way you put on this old man. You know, you was good yesterday. Today you got off.
That is true. You can't just be good yesterday. You got to be good today, the next day.
It don't roll over like that. You know, you die daily. The stuff that you did in the past, that's in the past. Today, are you a Christian today? I was a Christian yesterday. But today, I'm a demon. I'm hitting the strip club. I'm doing my thing.
People think being a Christian is just saying, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, I do believe in God. But if you believe in something, you will follow. You know, Christ says, pick up your cross and follow me, follow me. So if you're following them, we have to look at Christ as our master. Yeah. You know, we have to submit and we have to be humble and follow our master. So if you're following somebody, you're going to try to live the way that they live. Think the way that they think at all times.
One of my favorite things is ask a Christian is like, so you believe the Bible is the word of God? Yeah. Have you read the whole Bible? No. Mm-hmm. And you've been a Christian for years. Mm-hmm. So you mean tell me you believe that the Bible is written by God and this will lead you to salvation and the do's and don'ts is in that is God's rule book that and we live by what's written in the Bible man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You believe you will live by these words and you don't want to read them? You don't have any study habits. Mm-hmm. I would doubt that you're a Christian because you don't have, you know what I'm saying? Like, how you believe
you have to read the word of God. Because how are you going to know what to do? Mm-hmm. How are you going to know what the Holy Father is speaking to you about? Is saying, hey, don't do this, don't do that. This is what you need to do.
He said you live by the word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You're not hearing them talk. He's talking through the Bible. Yes, he can speak audibly. But guess what? He speaks it through the Bible. That's where you build relationship in the scriptures.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians, not what you were saying about the sports references. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 26 to 27. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bringing it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So if I'm not disciplining myself, I can tell you about Jesus all day till I get blue. But yeah, it might be good for you. You know what I'm saying? I might plant a seed in you and you might go and become a good Christian. But if I'm not disciplining myself, although I have done this work, I'm going to be one of those guys. Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils? And in your name perform many miracles? And he would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil doer. Why is he having these people depart, although they had good works?
The Bible says we're not just to be a speaker of the word, but a doer the word.
Because they were just
you got to be a doer.
They had that cog in their eye, and they was looking and still trying to see your speck. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to live by the word. So that's really all I want to give you guys today. I have much more because, you know, we're in the scriptures, so we can go days with scriptures, but we're not going to hold you that long. Acts 2, verses 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is our dream of the week.
Love, peace, grace, and mercy.
In this vision, I see people turning into zombie-like. And I see a person that's getting, like, getting, like, stick or getting a shot. on its arm, and it started to transform into a zombie. The next moment, I knew one of the towers, like the 5G towers or something like that, was being activated, and that was causes the zombie, the people to act funny and act like zombie-like. In another part of the vision, I see a person just laying dead on the ground. But it was like I was looking inside of the dead person, and I see little micro nanobots that was just being activated. And all of a sudden, this person, even though it's still zombified, it pretty much came back to life, in a sense. And then the interpretation of this vision is rising of the dead, or bringing the dead back to life. Yeah, they're pretty much trying to bring these people that probably the ones that are already dead, died from the it shot, and since the nanobots, so they can pretty much use these people who took the shots at any time at any day. So that's part of my vision. Aisha Manjo, repent for the day of the Lord is near. Please make Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ Jesus, your personal savior today. Please be washed by the blood of Yeshua and be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Prepare for the rapture. Prepare for Yeshua's coming. Prepare for the wedding supper of the Lamb, the great tribulation, and prepare for the great white throne judgment.